It's time for the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast. And it's time we all hit the road again. To celebrate at 7-Eleven, you can grab a free regular-sized coffee when you top up your tank. Only until this Sunday at 7-Eleven. While stocks last, T&Cs apply.
I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round on the radio now.
Today FM Morning Crew.
Happy Thursday, everybody. If you're just joining us, it is Husey, Ed and Erin.
It is, and at 5:30, Erin Molan started to tell us a story about her younger self and her mother in the shower. And I cut the story off. Ed, we heard the story off air. You remember? Did you hear it off air?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
Can we put it on air or not?
I feel like it was a pretty regulation. Like, I've never been through female puberty and you know, God willing, you know, with the right support, I might. But I just know that...
You're saying okay.
I thought it was okay.
All right, tell us the story.
I said, who are we, a couple of men, to judge a woman's coming of age story? I mean, you've seen enough films about women who go to convents who change their mind. That, you know what I mean? Like,
you've seen a lot of their heart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Movies you watch, they think they want to be nuns, but when they get there, it's one of the vow of chastity just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, because the higher power made the hormones as well. Do you know what I mean? So, the higher power creates the hormones that course through the body.
Is it Brides of Christ? Is that the movie?
Those are many movies. Now, all right, Erin, tell your story.
Oh, it's no, I don't really want to anymore. Kind of feels a bit.
Don't make him make you feel ashamed of your woman.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but also I can't force her to tell the story either, though.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't allow myself to be forced. I was in the shower and I was still little. Well, no, I wasn't little. I think I was 12. I don't know. But anyway, I just remember Mum looking at me and then just saying, "It started."
Yeah.
That's a good story. Yeah, no issue with that story.
And I remember just thinking, I don't want to start, but it had started.
You don't want to grow up.
Remember that moment. Mm.
Could you tell that on that teleconference that the Taliban's been invited to?
What teleconference is that? I didn't realize there was one.
Yeah, no, it's in the paper.
You know what? They are the government of Afghanistan.
I know that.
Mate.
They're gonna
be the Olympics.
Is it climate change? Is it the climate change conference?
They're gonna be Olympics. We're gonna be playing them in cricket.
Well,
so
we're not.
You know,
cricket's banned. Well, we're not.
We will.
But we had to get some of the female athletes out. Like the soccer team, I think, has come to Australia.
Yeah,
so
there's no. Well, all right. Well, I'm just, look. That's the government, mate. If we're gonna judge the governments of the world, you know. There's a lot of governments our own government, I don't think we should. No, don't be like that. Come on.
Are you talking to yourself? Do you need Ed and I here for this?
Having a conversation with himself.
Hey, let's look up to the skies because a great man just fell out of the sky and we're going to discuss
it
next.
Oh, Jesus, is he okay?
He had a parachute.
Oh, good.
Captain Kirk just went to space.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to hear from him. Let him tell his
story. Wait, we've got him exclusive on the show.
Yes.
Oh,
come
my
back.
God.
The Today FM Morning Crew. Husey, Ed and Erin.
To Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. Burning out of fuel. He'll be next. I want to see Elton John in space. I mean, Jeff Bezos, who is he the world's richest man? If he's not, he's the top three.
Second.
Probably he's the world's.
Who's he second to?
Elon Musk just took over.
God.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, all right. It's more money than you can dream of. So what are you going to do with it? You just go to space. And you send others, but you send your childhood heroes to space. Mm. So Jeff Bezos has sent William Shatner, the original Captain Kirk from Star Trek, to space. It happened a couple of hours ago. Up and back. Have a listen. William is 90 years old, the oldest astronaut now.
Looks good.
Officially, I mean,
is
a little
he
bit 90? Of hair dye. Yeah.
Wow.
God.
He's definitely dying his hair, but that's fair enough. He's 90. So, went to space, came down. What did William Shatner have to say about it?
What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. I hope I never recover from this.
And that's what they say. You know, they say the joy is in the giving. And Jeff Bezos, with his $100 billion in the bank, where does he get his joy? He gets it by filling Shatner full of joy.
I'm still stuck in the fact he's 90. He looks amazing.
No, people aren't really talking about that.
Are you saying that Jeff said, look, I want to send you, but what are you going to do for me, Bill? Do you still have the costume?
He's going to show. The costume they're in was very similar to the costume, so obviously.
Why you wouldn't give Shatner a yellow one. Yeah. Like, what are you doing, Jeff? Like, we know what you're doing, Jeff. Like, give him the gear. That was.
Well, let's have a little bit more from Shatner, Captain Kirk, original Captain Kirk, about what happened up there.
There is Mother and Earth and comfort, and is there death? I don't know. Is that death? Is that the way death is? Whoop, and it's gone. Jeez.
So that's him talking about those few moments he spent up there. So
I feel like
it's gone.
Yeah, easier to believe he's 90 now after that grab.
So it's only 4 minutes they spent in space floating around. So,
but they tape it. You'd be able to watch it back, wouldn't you?
If they can get them into space, they can record it. You'd hope.
You know what? I hope they didn't have their iPhones out and Insta-living it. I just hope they enjoyed the moment rather than just recording it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a concert, put your phone down and then experience the moment.
Thank you.
In space, put your phone down and experience the moment.
Thank you.
You know what I really want to talk about is former NASA engineer Dr. Bujwan Algo. How do you say his name? The Aussie guy. Yeah, we had him on.
It was written phonetically.
Bujwan?
Boswan?
We're hoping to get him on tomorrow, the Aussie guy, who was he was next
Bosshausen.
To William Bosshausen. Yeah, nowhere near it. Where were we? Now, he was in the photo that is online. William Shatner has his hand or his paw on what's his name?
Bosshausen's
shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were touching each other. So they were basically spooning their way through space.
Just holding him up like Weekend at Bernie's.
Shatner was behind Bosshausen.
Yeah, well, that's probably just a ploy.
Anyway, so we spoke to Bosshausen the other day.
Whatever
his name is.
He's not coming on there.
It's really quick. I mean, this rocket is really powerful, so it gets up into space in about 4.5 minutes. I think we pull 4 or 5 Gs on the way up. Somewhere in the 3,000 to 5,000 kilometers an hour speed by the time we're actually up in space, and then we pop out, we float around for about 5 minutes, and then we parachute back down to the Earth. So if I blink, I can miss it.
Yeah, so very proud that an Australian made the trip alongside Captain Kirk, a.k.a. William Shatner, until I read this. This has actually angered me. This is online right now. I did not know this. This is a direct quote. A former NASA engineer, Dr. Bosshausen, became the third Australian to fly into space and the second ticket-purchasing customer.
This is so big.
What?
Bosshausen had to pony up the dollars to get into space.
I thought you were going to say this because I read a quote on 7 News, sorry about that, Aaron, which was, quote, that he was a space dork who had, quote, spent a lot of money to get on the flight and said I wasn't necessarily happy about the price.
What? Bosshausen never told us that. He made it sound like he was selected in some because he was such an elite site. What the hell?
Bosshausen paid.
What?
How much did he pay? How can he afford that?
What the hell?
What are NASA paying their engineers?
I'm sorry, but our whole interview was on the premise that how amazing it was that this Australian had been selected to go to space.
Well, he can answer those charges when he comes on tomorrow, if this bit isn't in the podcast.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
If you have a child, you realise that at some point they're cute, but they're going to start insulting you. Mm. And no one is immune from this. We've just seen that brand new popular stand-up comic Kim Kardashian has told someone on some program that even her children have – you can imagine their life. It's just nonstop private jets and everything you could ever hope for. And still her kids are giving it this.
Every time I get into some kind of disagreement with my daughter, North, she thinks this is a dig to me. And she'll say, your house is so ugly, it's all white. Who lives like this? She just thinks it, like, gets to me, and it is kind of mean.
What does she mean, your house? Doesn't she live there?
Because you're Kanye and her. They've split, so she would be swapping.
She's swapping houses. Yeah, right, I get it.
It's a comparative.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah, right.
No,
It cuts deep, that one, doesn't it?
She struggles to be relatable, and she's trying.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm relating to it.
Can we hear it? Can we hear a montage of some of the things that your children give actual insults? Let's hear some.
I dropped my five-year-old off at a birthday party. As I'm leaving, I say, Tess, I'm going to go now. And she looked at me dead serious and said, who cares? No one likes you. And then her six-year-old sister looked me in the eye and said, Dad, you're a loser. Sadie says, Mum, can I ask you a question? And her mother says, of course you can. Why do all grown-ups smell so disgusting? My five-year-old again, her final act for me every time I drop off at school, which is she stomps on my foot.
I've forgotten about
some of that. That's got me PTSD. They're repressed memories.
Yeah.
They really don't like you that much. Here's
a fresh one for you. This is actually last night. We're at the kitchen table. and I don't know, my wife had gone for a walk with the dogs. And somehow the conversation gone to mummy, she's not walking the dog. She's off seeing her secret handsome boyfriend.
What
I wanted to say to them was, I've got a secret family too.
Exactly. They're a lot nicer than you lot. They're a lot nicer. And I can tell you what, you want to get a shock? Wait till you open that will. Then you'll get a real shock. Then we'll see who's a loser.
Husey, Ed and Aaron, 104.1 Today FM.
Husey, Ed and Aaron, we're just hearing Husey's kids insulting him multiple times.
I don't deserve it, but Aaron Mullen doesn't deserve it either. I mean, that woman is a superhero.
Yeah, thank you. Mine's a little bit more subtle than that. I was talking to, so Vicky, our wonderful babysitter, gets Eliza in the morning when I go to radio, and then she drops her back when I get home from radio. And I was talking to her yesterday about trying to get Eliza to leave the park the afternoon before, and it took me an hour because she just screamed she didn't want to go home. She just wanted to stay and play at the park, and I obviously... Mm. You know, translated Caved that a little in. Bit as, well, as that I'm really fun and that she loves being with me and that kind of thing. And then Vicky pipes in with, oh, absolutely. It's exactly the same when I try and bring her back here. Oh. And I was like, what? she said, oh, yeah, it takes hours to convince her that, you know, that I'm going to bring her home to mummy and I have to do all these little things and bribe her in the car. I'm going, what the hell?
She doesn't want to come home to mummy. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, that's what she's saying. And she's like, oh, yesterday I had to tell her we're going to go look at a pool in the building so I could trick her to get into the car to look and get into the building. I'm going, what the hell?
I think she could have a few more days at Vicky's as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah. Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
But how about we delve?
Aaron's inbox.
You've got mail.
Just quick, I'm allowed once a week to go through Aaron's inbox and pull out three messages just to give a tone of what's going on. first one, just very quickly, just one message. Hello, lovely, you haven't replied. Then another one, good night. And then another one, it's a maybe. And then another one, early in the morning, my heart is set on you. So we thank that gentleman for getting involved.
That's five. I don't know what the record is in a row, Aaron. Is there a record in a row?
Yeah, I think he holds it, to be honest, said gentleman.
Here's another gentleman. This guy is posing sort of in front of the Harbour Bridge. He's got what can only be described as a long hoodie on. And he just says, ahoy hoy, here to make you smile and end this drought. So thank you, sir.
What drought?
Well, that's fair enough too. After, let it rain, he's saying, let it rain.
Yeah, so he's a nice guy. And then the last one here, this is nice. This is Friday night, 7:20 p.m. This gentleman says, I'm going to use a word here, everybody, so language warning.
Before 7, okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay, yep. 7:20, Friday night, those tits, you keep getting better looking as you age. Good on you, MILF. And Husey, I've just sent you the photo, his profile picture, that gentleman who sent that. How would you describe it?
The father of three young men. So.
And who's in the other photograph there? That would probably be his wife,
that's,
I reckon.
Probably his wife.
Yeah, that's his
and
wife.
And he's next to her.
Yep.
He's next to her.
Yep.
She's very attractive as well. So he's on a roll, this guy. <isn't he? laughs>
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM. It's Husey,
really,
Ed and Aaron.
Get him in trouble.
Get up with the Today FM morning crew. Husey, Ed and Aaron.
Yeah, this is huge. This beats, Shatner in space. This is a woman crossing the English Channel more times than any other human via, not the ferry drivers, obviously, but via own arms
body.
And legs. Yeah, paddling. But more than swimming, really.
Swimming.
Yeah. Swimming. I think it was self-explanatory. I reckon, yeah.
No, it wasn't. We had to explain it. Now, reality star charged with drink driving. We all love former bachelorette Angie Kent, don't we? Yes. She has apologised after being caught drink driving.
No. Wrong song. Jack, no.
Jack, hang your she head. Was,
this is in early October. She was pulled over on her way to a picnic.
On her way, yeah. On
her way to, a picnic. To it or from it?
To the picnic.
Oh, dear, dear.
This is her explanation, all right? So this is what she actually said. I had two drinks on an empty stomach while getting ready. I was shocked, but totally in the wrong, and I take full responsibility. I'm deeply regretful and sorry. Let's have a listen to her.
Why did I do that? Oh, that was the worst. Why did I do that? That was the wrong decision. That felt awful. I shouldn't have done that.
Wait, is that actually from the drink driving?
Well,
get that outside her house?
Did she play the music in the background herself? Does she carry a tape recorder into court?
You know what? The fact is,
learn her lesson.
She normally lives in Queensland, where this sort of thing, it just goes on. I believe. But she's in Sydney to do Dancing with the Stars.
Is she staying at my place? Because where I'm staying now, a few of the contestants are staying. I would have just given her a lift.
How many times can you do Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
You're allowed to do it, officially you're allowed to do it three times because Grant Denyer did it once, he won it, then he came back as host, and now he's back as a contestant. So that's officially the record, which is three, and she's on two because she did it in my series, and now she's back as an all-star.
Yeah. How would you describe her? No, I don't know what you mean. She's, no. Do you think she's a chance to win?
I think she's a chance to win?
Dancing, you mean, or?
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, because it must be coming up in a second.
I know that I'm speaking to people who are working on it. Do I think she's a chance to win?
Yes, that's the question.
It's a great question, isn't it?
The new 104.1 Today FM.
We love interacting with absolute superstars on this radio show, and we've been doing it for a while now. And here's a woman who has just smashed the world record. She is the champion, no doubt about it. Chloe McArdle, where are you right now as we speak, Chloe?
I'm driving to London to do live interviews.
She's going to be on British TV in moments. She's taken some time out of her busy schedule to talk to us. What have you just done, Chloe?
I've broken the world record for greatest crossings of the English Channel today as I swam my 44th crossing of the English Channel and seventh this season already.
Well done. I mean, it's just, it's never been done before. You know, I know that's what a world record is, but 44, how many kilometres in total is that, Chloe?
My maths is not good on that one. It's 34 kilometres times by 44, so you might better help me out.
We'll go to the calculator. But how was the conditions today? Was it an easy crossing or a tough crossing or none of them would be easy, but was the wind with you today or not?
That was what I was going to say. They're never easy. Yeah. Today wasn't one of the worst ones, thankfully, because my last two were really hard. And I have a chest infection, so I did not want a really hard swim today. The sun came out, which was a blessing, in October in England. It's pretty miserable usually. So I'm going to say overall better than average, which I think is fair enough because, I've done so many of them and I've done some hard ones. I just wanted to enjoy the last one and soak it in.
Absolutely. Well, you've done 1,496 kilometres, which is incredible. Can I ask, how do you, is this your full-time job? Do you work another job? How do you make a living out of doing this?
I don't make a living out of doing this. Yeah. I'm an amateur athlete. There's no prize money. I get no support from Swimming Australia or the AIS, so I rely on family, friends and businesses and anyone who would, believe in me and go, we want to support you and we want you to keep doing this stuff.
How can people contact you? If there's a business owner listening now who wants to, put their logo on your swimmers or get involved, how do they do that?
Well, I might be retiring because I'm really exhausted.
It's too late.
Is tough. You know, it's just the swimming, right? It's the emotional toll of trying to make the logistics in the background happen on the super tight budget. Yeah, it's been really hard. I've been luckier this year than most, I think, because the world record has excited lots of people, so I've had more support. So big shout out, especially to David Paradise and Local Chemicals this year. But yeah, I mean, I might do a big swim in the future if I can get the support around me. But I can't keep self-funding these things because I also work as well.
What's your secret, though? What's the secret to keeping the motivation going? What do you think about when you're in the air? So how many hours was today's swim?
I was lazy, 10 hours and 1 minute, which is not very long, really, for me.
What do you think about? What, have you got a mantra as you're swimming along? Or what is your, do you listen to music? What's your mind go through when you're doing it?
Well, today was really, I had fun. It seemed like the time flew because I was on the verge of the world record and I was so confident I could get through. But there's a lot of monotony that usually kicks in and pain. You have to be 36,000 arm strokes generally in the swim crossing.
Oh, wow. So I try to enjoy it when I can. What TV show are you going on? What are people going to see you on if we find out? What is it?
I'm going on Sunrise and Sky Breakfast.
Oh, it's an international superstar.
Well done.
We're so proud of you. Brilliant effort. You're going to be back in Sydney. When do you land in Sydney?
November 18th. But, guys, I want to thank you for your shout-out video. It was amazing. You guys are so cool.
We're happy to be riding on your coattails, and no doubt about that. And we're going to hit the water. Me and Chloe and Erin and Ed, if you want to come along, we're hitting the water when she gets back to Sydney. And we're going to find somewhere to swim, somewhere reasonable that we something achievable. All right, Chloe.
The new 104.1 Today FM.
But we're talking right now amicable breakups. People who've broken up but have stayed friends. We're about to speak to Erin's ex-partner. We're going to find out what is going on between those two. Erin has a bone to pick with him. I'm a bit worried because we want you to stay amicable with him, Erin. So we don't want you to be picking fights live on the radio.
I'm not picking fights, but it was unforgivable. In fact, there were two incidents that have occurred.
But we need inspirational stories. So have you broken up with your partner, but you're still friends? That's what we need people 131060 to call us. Is it possible to be friends with an ex-partner?
Mm.
And what's going to go on with Erin Molan? And what's going to happen next when her ex-partner comes on the radio? This is
not normally nervous, but I'm really nervous.
All right. 131060, amicable breakups. Are you friends with your ex? Doesn't have to be marriage, just boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. It's still friends.
I'm on his side, I should say.
But you would be regardless. I haven't even told the story yet. You're on his side. Thanks, Scoop.
If he's listening.
131060. $100.
You just want to hang out with Homicide. Come on.
Yeah, sure do.
He does. Oh, he has a gun.
All right, we'll talk to you next.
The Today FM Morning Crew. Husey, Ed and Erin.
Yeah, well, Michael from Campsie knows how. Michael, friends with your ex, how have you done it?
Yeah, we've been friends. Oh, we broke up probably about a year and a half ago. And we still catch up every now and then. We went to the movies recently just before lockdown started.
Now, have you both got new partners?
We do, yes.
Yeah, this is huge.
Do your
new partners okay with your friendship?
My partner wasn't the best with it to start with, but then once she met her, she found out, it was close friends and she got along with it.
Yeah.
But when you said, hey, partner, just go to the movies with my ex. See you tomorrow. What was the response?
The first time she wasn't too happy.
How many times has it happened? You guys go like every Thursday?
We probably try and catch up at least every 2 or 3 months.
Okay, well, it's not every day.
Hang on. So no, is there any kids involved, Michael?
No, no kids.
Yeah, so I actually don't think you should be friends with your ex.
Oh, don't
No, that's
this.
Lovely, Michael. Well played.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it. I've turned.
I probably wouldn't. If someone had been intimate with someone else and been in love with them, I'd probably, if I was a new partner, I'd probably struggle a bit with that, I reckon.
Yeah, just keep, you're really into your new partner, aren't you, Michael?
I am, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
I think no more movies with the ex.
Oh, come on. We've got to get people back in cinemas. Bring your ex. Make a deal. Have a deal. Yeah. Free Choc Top if you bring your ex. It's hot.
Who else have we got? All right.
Emma's in.
Yeah. Emma, Penrith. Okay, here we go. What happened with your ex?
So in my early 20s, I was in a same-sex relationship. We were together for about 18 months and things slowly fizzled out and we just decided to change teams and we're now both happily married to men and we have kids and we're still best friends.
Oh,
so
my
advice is change teams.
That's huge. So can I just say I'm all for Emma's situation. Yeah. So I think that's fine.
And you don't ever have moments of kind of where you think about the passion you used to share?
No, and we literally talk every single day. Yeah. We're still really good friends, but there's just no passion anymore. And it's been 8 years since we broke up. Yeah.
This is an amazing story, and this should be on TV. I mean, this is...
Oh, so you're happy because Emma was in a same-sex relationship and now married, and in your head you've got thoughts, but you weren't happy with Michael going to the movies with an ex?
No, but Emma has... Emma's like... No, I haven't no, it's not just me. Yeah, come on, Ed. You're happy with that, aren't you?
I'm lost in the memories of Emma's relationship.
Thanks, Emma. Great story.
What a hero. Right.
Jude from Randwick, what's your situation?
Hi, Judy, Ed and Aaron. I had three children and we've been separated probably for 15 years.
Yeah.
He remarried and her and I, the ex-wife, well, his wife now, a very good friend. She'd come and pick up the children. We'd be having a glass of wine together. He would come in home and he'd be like, are you guys still talking about it? Yeah, and we're like, no, it's not all about you.
Yes.
And we went to Bali. We went to a family holiday together so the children could have that experience.
Oh.
Yeah, this is what we're talking
Jude.
About.
This is the playbook here, Jude. Give us your one tip, Jude. If you had to give people listening now who envy your maturity and the way you've dealt with this, what was one tip you'd give, Jude?
One is really hard, but communication and mutual respect across the board.
Mutual respect.
Yeah, thank you, Jude. Yeah, just go back to Emma. I've got a number of questions.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
Yeah, it's great to be here in your radios or wherever you are. I don't know how people listen anymore, but they do.
In the car, which is great. On the app, an old radio. I've just received a message from the ex-person, Sean. He's been caught up at work, but he said he'll come on just after 8.
Hang on, we're not calling the shots.
You're saying you don't want him anymore? We've got the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
I'll tell him to sod off then, shall I?
No, just say, we'll just wait by the phone. Right? We've got to take the power back.
So true.
He knew when he was meant to be on.
Guzzi, Ed and Aaron, 104.1 Today FM.
Look, no one denied Queensland deserved an extra NRL team. The passion for rugby league in Queensland is unsurpassed anywhere in the world, I believe, even though Sydney loves it as well. But you know what? We're all worrying, what was the name of the team going to be? Let's have a listen to what they announced yesterday.
Earlier this morning, the commission approved the expansion to 17 teams in the NRL Telstra Premiership and the addition of the Dolphins as the 17th club in the NRL franchises.
The Dolphins? Is this going to be their theme song?
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning.
When we see one of them make a big hit, are we going to hear this sound effect? Are we going to go, what happened on the weekend? I'll tell you what happened on the weekend. We slaughtered the Dolphins. We killed the Dolphins. No, people don't want to see Dolphins getting killed.
You're finished.
Mate.
You're finished.
They should have called them the Dugongs, the Stingrays. The rainbow trouts, but not the Dolphins.
You shut up.
Have you ever been to a Dolphins home game? Because I have. Do you have 70 million in the bank? Well, you might, but they do as well in assets, and they got $20 million in cash reserves. I'm going to run you through some names, and you can tell me that you hate these people because you hate the Dolphins. Let's start at the top, shall we? You hate Petro Sivanisiva. Well, that's good for you. You hate Michael Crocker. You hate Dick Tosser Turner. You hate Brent Tate. You hate Gavin Cooper. And hold on to your hat, Dave Hughes, because you officially now hate Arthur Beetson. You happy with yourself?
See if he knew who any of them
were. You happy with yourself?
I've heard all those names.
Hang your head in.
I hate the fact that they had to be called Dolphins, all right?
You are a putrid individual.
Can I just ask?
Do they drink champagne out of the holes on the top of their heads, do they?
What do you think the Rabbitohs, like the Rabbitohs are fluffy little bunnies. Like they don't exactly instill fear in people.
Yeah, it's also people who
No one cares whether you kill the rabbits, you know? We'll go out rabbit shooting, you know what I mean? Rascally rabbits. You can put a bullet between their eyes. No one wants to kill the Dolphins.
You want to be the Crushers, do you? You want the Crushers back, do you? That's what you want.
It wasn't the name's fault that they were rubbish, right?
Oh.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
We're talking pelvic floors, inspired by the great Yana Pittman, who did a great job on SAS Australia. She was the last woman standing. We had this conversation yesterday with her.
You had a baby, I think, was it 6 months before filming?
I did. See, yes,
I'm 3.5 years in. I still can't jump on a trampoline. How the hell did you do that?
Well, I wet myself, didn't I? So therefore, it was clearly, my body wasn't quite ready.
You said that your wife loved that story, Ed.
My wife, obviously, got a son, and she's very, very, as you know, very active, TXO for her fitness program, and that was her main thing, trying to get her pelvic floor back so that she could jump and do exercise. She was very, very nervous.
Now, a lot of women can relate. Eliza, you can relate to the story?
Yep. I was on my way to a friend's wedding. We were on a minibus with a bunch of strangers that I'd never met before, and I was drinking, so desperate to go to the toilet. We're on the highway, there's nowhere to pull over. I'm holding it in, so difficult. I'm crying, pleading with my husband. I'm like, can we please talk to the bus driver? I need to get out. And he's like, don't embarrass us in front of these people we don't know. But eventually I was like, I have to. So like pled with the bus driver to please let me out. He had to pull over illegally on the highway, let me out. I'm peeing as I'm running off the bus, getting into the bush, trying to just, like, in my wedding, like, really nice dress, before the wedding's even started. Then I had to have the whole rest of the day, dealing with that situation. So it was lovely.
Did you leave your undies in the bushes, or did they come back onto the bus with you?
They had to come back. Don't make me laugh too hard.
God bless you, Eliza.
Well done.
Well, here we are. We asked the question, and we have Angela James from Sydney Pelvic Clinic, who I'm sure has heard many of these stories. Angela, thank you so much for joining us. We're here for pelvic floor tips.
Yeah,
how do we strengthen
no problem.
Them?
Look, I'm so glad you're having this conversation. So those moments of, wetting your pants either on national TV or on the way to the wedding is a sign that the pelvic floor is not quite strong enough to withstand those loads. So whether it's a full bladder or jumping or whatnot. So it's like a sports injury, and we would rehabilitate a torn hamstring or a knee ligament or something. And it's exactly the same theory for the pelvic floor, but for some reason we just don't give it the attention that it needs. So that's the way to see vaginal birth. It's sort of like a sports injury to the pelvic floor, and for it to be able to, do its job properly, which is to support the bladder, the bowel, sexual function, help the back, help the hips, it needs to get that strength back into the muscle to do its job properly. So it's all about pelvic floor muscle exercises, and those pelvic floor muscle exercises need to be focused on strength training.
So how do you do it, Angela? Because I had an emergency C-section, but I didn't do my exercises after, and I should have, but there's still definitely a difference.
Yeah, so it's not just the vaginal birth, Erin, that's a great point. It's the pregnancy. Pregnancy is responsible for about 50% of urinary incontinence, and vaginal birth is sort of the other part of it. So whether you've been pregnant or had a vaginal birth, their exercise is still really important. And
Angela, what's... we need one. For goodness sakes, you've said it enough. I'm about to wee myself. Give me a tip.
You've got one too. So the exercise, one thing to say before I talk you through how to do it is that 50% of people get it wrong when they just are given an instruction alone. So
yeah.
People can do all sorts of things. They can push down. Mm. They can turn their glutes on. They can switch their abdominals on. So it's really important to get it assessed and get the right script of exercises to you. But the idea is to really get that inside squeezing muscle happening. So a nice image to use is a vaginal elevator. So you sort of squeeze the doors closed and then you lift that elevator up, and you kind of hold it at the top and you try and hold it. And if you've got good function, you've got a really decent squeeze and you can hold it for, between 6 to 8 seconds and do around, 10 or so reps. So that's
every day?
Yeah, every day. In those early postpartum days, like Yana, in those first 6 months, like 3 times a day, and then it can slow down as you sort of have regained that strength back.
Can everyone improve, whether the baby was like 10 years ago? Yeah. Can you still improve? So
100%.
Everyone.
100%. Yeah. So there's no limit in terms of when you'll improve your pelvic floor. And we think about it like a bank account. You just got to keep putting deposits in with those exercises. So, you don't have problems. And that's what we've got to change. We've got to stop people having problems and getting surprised, Like Yana was probably surprised. Yeah. We can do it better.
Yeah. Angela James from the Sydney Pelvic Clinic, look them up. That's the best place to go to help get your pelvic floor strong as an ox.
Yes.
Everyone can improve, and I imagine you can do it with your partner as well.
Is it I'm 38 and I still laugh when someone says vagina.
Well, not if you put an AL at the end of it. Put an L at the end of it. It's just a technical term,
QZ, Ed, and Aaron.
Get up with the Today FM morning crew. QZ, Ed, and Aaron.
Are we about to build a bridge or are we about to blow up a bridge? This is big for us. Aaron, you are a wonderful person who publicly have told everyone that you have separated.
Well, in my defence, because I work in the public eye, it wasn't like I want...
Well, I didn't jump in here. But the point is, Aaron, that you've done a great job already, and Sean, co-parenting and reaching agreements and staying amicable. It is to be, and we've been celebrating that all morning hearing people's stories.
Of being amicable.
Yes.
So, but there is an issue now which came about when Sean came to pick up Eliza on Tuesday, came into the unit where I'm staying and to get her, which he generally does, and we have a chat and she has a
because
play.
Because he's got a key because you're amicable.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So he came in and anyway, as I was kind of, I think I was on the phone and I turned around and he's opened my fridge and then he turns around and he's chewing. And I think he ate some of my blueberries. I don't know if you guys have seen the price of blueberries lately, but... Like, they're not
cheap.
You're
going okay, but you're going to.
Well,
they're a superfood.
We're not in a relationship. Ask. And the second thing was,
you want the father of your beautiful child to be healthy.
Yeah, really good point. I think he was just checking for wine as well was another reason why he was looking in the fridge. But then as he went to leave, there was a big box of recycling at the door and I just gave Eliza a kiss and then said, would you mind taking that with you?
No.
Anyway, he said, okay, begrudgingly okay. And then when I went outside about half an hour later, he's literally just dumped it outside another unit's door just around the corner.
Now, we've got Sean on, and welcome to the show, Sean. We appreciate your time.
Morning. How are you? It's good.
Morning, Officer.
Morning.
You've heard the charges, and how do you respond?
I'm not sure if Aaron understands what separation means, to be honest. Because let me run it through, right? So, as you know, we share beautiful Eliza, so Aaron and I see a lot of each other. Mm. But I'm not sure what she understands by separation, because every time I go there, she tries to load me up with chores. out the garbage for her. Yes. So leaving it outside the door was a subtle reminder that's not my job anymore.
Here we go. And also, we've seen the photo. It wasn't outside your door. He'd actually moved it down the corridor.
Someone else's door.
Look, it was actually the recycling door, but it was locked, so I couldn't get into it.
Oh, hang on. That is information we did not know.
Yeah, because it would have made the story not as good.
Recycling door.
But, in fairness, I think Aaron's credit card's still linked to my Iconic account. I may have used it last week to buy some clothes.
Did you use my card for that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It was an accident.
It's an accident.
I got to cancel that car.
Well, it can be the payment for this appearance on the radio. We
yes,
know that,
good point.
That Sean definitely yeah. normally demands payment. So
yeah. how much usually he demands much? 10K, but I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, yeah, we up to 10. Right.
So good on you two for staying friends, though. Yes.
Yeah, well absolutely.
Done. Well
yeah,
done. Absolutely.
Well, then get well back I'm to on Sean's work.
Side. I'm also on Sean's side, by the way. I should firmly put that there. You go buy whatever you want. You get yourself a nice frock. You look as fresh as you want to.
Yeah, you need to get some pocket money if you do the chores. But
see you, bro.
There he goes.
The new 104.1 Today FM.
All about the legend who is joining us right now, Sonny Bill Williams.
How are you guys? Great to be here. It's Dave, Aaron.
How are you? Mate. It's great to hear your voice. And can I just say, before we get to the book, you and Aaron on the Friday nights and what I've seen you guys working together, it's just been incredible. There's a synergy between you and Aaron, isn't there?
She always looks after me, mate. I'm grateful for it.
Oh, don't be silly. You're an incredible talent. It's such an honour to sit next to you and chat to you. You must look back on your life and just think, wow, how have I packed all of that in?
Man, the whole book, the whole journey of... I guess doing a book, never in my wildest dreams that I ever think I'd have a book. Sorry, there's my daughter. She's in the room. never in my wildest dreams that I ever think I'd be writing an autobiography. So the whole process was really therapeutic because I just got to understand myself a little bit better and the struggles and the highs. So it's been a cool process.
I've heard you say that you can't, a lot of the stuff you took you a long time to remember. You'd sort of forgotten about a lot of those big moments in your earlier life.
Yeah, maybe too many hits on that footy field, bro. Won the ring. But yeah, for example, I got to work with Alan Duff. He wrote Once We Were Warriors. He's a great guy. But he would do it all via Zoom, and he sent me a message saying, tomorrow or the next day, we're going to be talking about some things that happened in your childhood, some traumatic experiences, whatever, I couldn't think of anything. And then I was in bed with my wife, and she said, what about the burns on your legs? And yeah, just things like that. Like, it was such a traumatic experience. Obviously, I suppressed it for so long, but that's why the whole book, I guess, was really therapeutic because of things like that.
On that, so you were like at a daycare center or somewhere, and some teenage kids threw some, I think by accident, but threw burning fat on you. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was the ladies' teenage kids. They were cooking hot chips. Caught on fire throughout the morning. I was playing outside. It went all on my legs. Luckily, the next door neighbors were washing their car. They jumped over, hosed me down. Anyway, long story short, I ended up in the burns unit for about 8 months, I think it was. A few operations later, my mom and dad had to get special cream from Switzerland, I think it was, and they had to take the dressings off every night and thing me down. But that whole process, I had to learn to walk again. So my mom, hearing my mom's words on it really got me emotional, because from a parent's point of view, she's saying that she was there in the burns unit and I had to learn to walk in. I'm crawling on the ground and she's not allowed to pick me up, and I'm looking at her saying, why aren't you picking me up, mom? But that whole process, I end up going to school, and I remember when I hit about 10, 11, the puberty age, I remember girls looking at my legs, talking about it, and it really affected me. I was called Kentucky Fried Chicken Legs at school. So for about 3 years, I dropped out of school when I was 14. But, from about 10, 11 till then, I wore pants every day.
It's unbelievable to think that, who you are now, that could have been your childhood, that would have happened, and that because you're so revered as a figure now and a handsome man, Aaron.
Oh, incredible.
And I'll do it too. Sonny Bill, I've spent the best part of 20 years looking at your legs and admiring them and never would have imagined that story in a million years. I mean, my favourite aspect is your back, because your back is so big that you can get the word Williams on there and enough room for Sonny Bill underneath in 24 size font.
My nana used to always say it was just in case I got lost.
Hey, Sonny, did you find that? I know a lot of people who sign up to do these kind of books, and Lisa Wilkinson, there's a lot of press around at the moment about what she's written about different people. Did you find it hard to write honestly about different experiences because you didn't want to hurt or offend or reveal truths that weren't your own, essentially?
Yeah, well, I didn't really go into those places. You know, that's not my style, Aaron, you know.
Yes.
I don't want to throw anyone else under the bus, but I just spoke about my journey and myself and what I know. And, you know, it's just like in life, I feel like we're in a place today where because we have a platform, have a voice, we feel like everyone needs to hear it and we need to speak about every topic under the sun. You know, for me, well, that was quite a good line, wasn't it?
And you know what? And Sonny Bill, Husey's whole world just collapsed around him because most days he's trending on Twitter. So he knows yeah, that
also,
feeling.
Sonny, my wife's in the background going, yeah, listen to him. Listen to Sonny.
But yeah, I just try and stick to my lane, you know what I mean? And for a long time, guys, I used to think my empathetic heart and being a bit too emotional was soft, you know? I come from the era of train hard, play hard, party hard, that, and leave your emotions at the door. But now I see it as a true strength. Mm. So I try to take that mindset into doing this book, but also had to be real. You know, yes. it had to be real. Otherwise, there'd be no learnings from it for others, and you know, for myself as well.
Yeah, it's also fascinating. It turns into a detective novel at about page 100 where I am, where you were an international fugitive trying to hide in London and sneak through Singapore airport and getting the prime minister to give you a passport on the spot. That's incredible. So there's a lot of very exciting stuff in there too. It's a great read.
Well, thanks for taking the time to read it, bro. I appreciate it. But yeah.
No, thank you.
Just a young, naive man thinking, man, if this guy gives me a paper, a subpoena, I'm subpoenaed, I have to go back to Australia, like...
Yeah, there was a... Sonny Bill, just to paraphrase, crazy. He's hiding in London as a man is wandering the streets trying to subpoena him because of the Bulldogs, all that contract stuff. It's incredible. It's incredible stuff.
It's a great read. Just begun. What a superstar. Get the book, everyone.
It's called You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining, and it's available online in stores now. Get it. I've read it. It's incredible. It's so inspiring. Well done, legend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys' time. Have a good day, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Sunny
Bill.
Good on you, mate.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
Look, big news in the world of vaccines for COVID because our mate, the one and only, the OG, I'd like to call it, AstraZeneca, is no longer going to be made in Australia.
I thought this would make bigger news, but now Nine News, we first saw AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine will no longer be made in Australia. And one of the major reasons that is being given is I don't like to say this, but the negative campaign that has been waged against.
Are you talking about the Queensland Chief Medical Officer, Ed?
Yeah, saying that she doesn't want to see 18-year-olds get it. Yeah, no, it was them. It was, and it's they would keep making it, but the government are stopping the contract because, partly possibly because almost everyone's already vaccinated. But we supported AstraZeneca more than we were the originals. We were.
Well, I know that, and to prove that, yes, we've set this to music.
It's the beginning of the end for Australian-made vaccines, with production of AstraZeneca to be suspended by Christmas. The safe and effective jab finally succumbing to the scare campaign. I will
remember you. Anyone over the age of 50 will be eligible to receive AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine free from Monday. Will you? And can I just give a shout out to the AstraZeneca vaccine?
How's it going? I feel as though Pfizer is really trying to elbow in on its territory.
We've got Dr. Van Mai with us.
Oh, hello, Hugh. You're getting the AstraZeneca.
Just entered. Oh,
something nice. Yeah. And
that was
done.
Such a tiny little moment. And I'm done. Erin, what are you doing today?
I'm getting my second jab, so let's say I'm going to be fully vaxxed.
You enjoy your AstraZeneca.
This is from Jean. Hi, Erin. I had the AstraZeneca today because of you and how passionate you have been. The lady next to me said you had also inspired her to get the jab as well. Love your work. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Very nice.
Oh, welcome. That's beautiful.
I got the AstraZeneca, the shit one. Hang on. You can't cherry pick something from a stand-up show to make it look like I'm the AstraZeneca bad guy, right?
So. In fact, what I did do was cut the joke short. There was a 3-minute bit that went on after that.
I think it included the term,
No.
I'm not allowed to say it.
That was comedy, all right?
That's it for another Supersized Tuesday Ed and Erin podcast. Lockdown left you feeling thirsty? Buy a Supersized Slurpee at 7-Eleven and enjoy another one free to share with a mate. Only until this Sunday at 7-Eleven. While stocks last, T&Cs apply.